You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. Hello, everybody. I'm Allison Footer from MLB.com, here with Corey Brock, who has been covering the Padres for MLB.com for as long as I can remember. And, Corey, let's talk about the new manager, Pat Murphy. So he is a little bit settled in, I guess, to his interim position. It's been maybe a couple weeks, and he seems to be, settling in okay. What have you observed from him in these last several games?
Yeah, I think settling in is a pretty good term. It's 2 weeks on the job today, Tuesday, and he, it's kind of a work in progress. He'll be the first to admit it. A steep learning curve for a guy to, essentially parachute into that clubhouse and not entirely be surrounded by strangers. Some of these guys he had in AAA, and of course Pat was part of the big league staff during spring training. So, he's familiar with a lot of these guys, but to now be in charge, it's an interesting experiment is what I like to call it. And I don't mean that in a disparaging sense. I just mean it in, it's a lesson in learning people mostly. The players are learning about Pat. Pat is learning about the players. So it's going to be kind of an ongoing process between, now and the end of the year. There's sort of a feeling out process. Allison, the stuff on the field, the in-game strategy, all that sort of takes care of itself. And certainly Pat has a good staff to rely on, the coaching staff still intact. So he's leaning on those guys a lot. So but it's mostly managing people and learning about the personnel and for them trying to figure out what Pat Murphy's all about.
So is this, this will be an ongoing thing all season, and then they could change managers again, right?
Yeah, that's very conceivable. I think, I wouldn't at all be surprised, that they open this up and, conduct a big search and try and make a big splash in the off season. Now, the Pat can make a strong case for himself, certainly, if the team plays better here in the second half and wins a lot of games. I'm not sure it'll matter one way or the other, but this is, it's a good opportunity for him. I don't think he probably didn't want this job under these circumstances, but, these guys sort of get into this business, most of them do, looking to become major league managers, and now he has that opportunity. I think he's going to try and seize it. We'll see where this sort of goes between now and the end of September. But, I would have to think that if they play well, that he's going to get, at the very least, get another interview, if he even needs one at that point, or at least have his foot in the door as far as becoming the full-time manager in 2016.
So I've been sort of rolling through some of the news items. It seems that the Padres are getting a little banged up. So can you give us an update on Will Middlebrooks? And I guess, of course, Spangenberg is maybe on the shelf a little bit. And does this open up maybe a promotion for Jed Jerko?
Yeah, Corey Spangenberg got a deep left knee contusion that he got when Arizona Diamondback went in hard at second base trying to break up a double play, a clean play, but he just kind of landed awkwardly on the leg, and so he's going to go on the disabled list. We get old friend Jed Jerko back from AAA. He went down there a few weeks ago to work on a few things, so he's going to get a chance to play second base again. Will Middlebrooks got dinged up, got his left leg sort of dinged up the other day, rolled an ankle as he came in trying to get a foul ball over near the visiting dugout. And you've seen it before, Allison, on that on-deck circle. Those guys leave all that junk out there.
Right.
The weighted bat, the pine tar rags, the little weighted donut that they could use. So just kind of bad luck there, and nothing you could really do about that. But I think they feel pretty fortunate. This may only be a couple-day thing. So, but at least with this Spangenberg thing, give him a chance to rest that knee, other than this DL stint, and we'll find out more a little bit moving forward, but I don't think it's going to require more than the 15 days, which pretty much will lead us right up to the All-Star break.
Do these guys still believe in, of course they believe in themselves, but what's kind of just the general overall feeling just in, within the clubhouse walls? I mean, did they believe that they have enough to make a run and maybe contend in this division? Is the optimism still around the same?
Well, you know, I think, you know, that maybe from a confidence standpoint, things kind of took a hit a little bit when they let go of Bud Black. And I'll come back and answer your question directly in a second. But I think, at least from that standpoint, it's been kind of a clubhouse in flux in the sense that, you know, guys are trying to figure things out a little bit. I kind of had a fun analogy in this story I did about Pat Murphy. Padres third base coach Glenn Hoffman was an interim manager of the Dodgers in 1998, sort of the same situation where he was brought up from AAA, and he managed to the end of the year. And he said, you know, there's truly an initial shock with players when something kind of this kind of upheaval happens. And so I think the players are kind of sorting through that and maybe starting to pull out of that now. But in terms of the mood in the clubhouse and the confidence in what they have, I think they've always felt like they had the right guys in there. I guess you could nitpick, and well, I shouldn't say nitpick, but, you know, I think they needed an upgrade at shortstop eventually and a few other areas. But I think by and large, they feel like the clubhouse personnel, the position players, the pitchers, it's the right guys. It's just not the right guys playing up to their abilities. And I think that's what's really plagued this team and led them to some wild, wild periods of inconsistency this year.
And it's interesting. I write the weekly power rankings roundup for MLB.com, and I was noting this week that this trade deadline could be like really, really stressful for a lot of general managers, and possibly the most ever, because there are so many teams that are on the bubble of, like, they're not very good, they're not that bad. And when you're, like, within six games of the second wild card, like, how could you possibly think you're out of it, even though you're four games under 500? And so there's a lot of teams that are sort of in that. I would see the Padres as sort of that kind of team, too. They've made so many moves that I can't even imagine that they would dip further into their farm system to make a splash or start selling off some guys. Because, you know, I guess the Padres seem to be the team most likely to stand pat. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I know there's been a few people who have sort of suggested that maybe the Padres should hit the reset button and maybe try and move some of these pieces they have. And I think, you know, I think there's some merits to that, but I just don't think they could do that. One, because, you know, they're not completely out of this thing at this point. Two, I think that really sends a bad message to your fan base. And we have to remember, this is an organization that it's going to be hosting the All-Star game next year. They're trying to build some goodwill locally. They're trying to create something here, and to, you know, 6 months after the fact, essentially blow this thing up and try and recoup some prospects, even if it's taking a step back to take a step forward, I just think that's a real bitter pill for the fan base and for the organization to swallow. So, you know, I can't see them doing that. You know, they do have some interesting pieces they could move in deals, but I think they have to tread fairly carefully here. So, well, while they may not be buyers, I'm not sure they'll be sellers either. So, yeah, maybe they will have to stand pat and hope that this roster, the 25 guys in that clubhouse, collectively start playing better.
Yeah, maybe just, like, keep it together and then decide in the offseason what tweaks you need to make. Like, the trade deadline kind of takes on this, you know, monster image of just, like, we have to do something. And you really don't. I mean, you can, you know, sort of, like, assess. And I think, like you said, I mean, they need to see what kind of group they have. And even though that sounds funny to say that, like, 3 months into the season, but we still don't really know. I mean, with this group, we don't know. Like, we can't really predict, you know, 2 years from now where they might be headed.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's, they assembled this thing, you know, thinking that this is going to be a group that could, you know, contend this year and beyond this year. Even if you look at Justin Upton, maybe if he's just a one-year player, you end up getting a draft pick for him. A lot of these guys they acquired are under team control beyond 2015. Derek Norris, Matt Kemp, Will Middlebrooks, you know, and then the guys who are already here, Andrew Kashner, Tyson Ross. I mean, I think, you know, there's various ways to sort of build your team, whether that be through the draft and player development, or you could move a bunch of prospects and get better immediately, which is what they did, which is so different that you and I have talked about so often. You know, I'm still not convinced one way is better than the other. One's certainly safer than the other, and that's to hang on to your pieces. But who's to say those guys become anything? So let's say, who's to say that if you start selling off some veterans now, And not only does it look bad to your fan base, but the prospects you recoup, what if they don't become anything? So at least with these guys in the clubhouse now, Allison, you know they have a track record. And you know that there's no way that all these guys are regressing at the same time. That's just extremely, extremely unlikely. So you have to bank on these guys getting better. And we've seen flashes at times when these guys have been very, very good. But they've been prone to these wild, inconsistent streaks, and it's been maddening. It was maddening for Buddy Black. It's maddening for A.J. Preller, Ron Fowler, the executive chairman, Mike D., the team president. I think they're all frustrated by this. So I think, I don't know. I don't know if you cross your fingers and hope for better play, but I really don't know what else they could do.
Yeah. Well, it continues to be a very interesting story in the NL West, so we'll keep our eyes peeled. Corey, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Thanks, Allison.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.